It's been 2 weeks since 16 Egyptian policemen were killed in an attack in the Sinai Peninsula, close to Egypt's border with Israel and near the Gaza Strip. Egypt and Israel both blamed Islamic extremists and suggested some of them might have come from Gaza, the Palestinian territory. Egypt responded by closing its formal border with Gaza. It's also threatening to shut down the huge network of smuggling tunnels that cross under that formal border. The tunnel economy has flourished as a result of Israel and Egypt's blockade of Gaza, which was tightened when the militant group Hamas came to power 5 years ago. The BBC's John Donison looks at whether Gaza is still dependent on those tunnels and what impact their closure might have.
This is Rafah in southern Gaza. Egypt is less than 100 meters away, and this is the home of Gaza's vast network of smuggling tunnels which cross the border. All around me, there are mounds of white sandy soil which have popped up like massive molehills. There's nothing secret about this trade. Everyone knows it's here. And the last time I came here 6 months ago, the area resembled a vast industrial zone humming with trucks and workers ferrying goods out of the ground. But today, it has something of a sleepy feel. Sloping around with his donkey, looking like a man with time on his hands, I find Saga, who's worked in the tunnels for the last 3 years. He says since this month's violence across the border in Sinai, there's been virtually no trade. He blames the Egyptian government for cracking down on the smuggling business, and he's not happy.
I have no money, I have a poor man. No money, no money. Matarna rabna money? Fish.
Gaza's economy has long been dependent on the tunnels, since Israel and Egypt tightened a blockade on the strip in 2007, soon after Hamas came to power. But recently, the tunnel trade has changed. 3 years ago, if I'd have come to a market like this one in Gaza City, the stores would have been full of smuggled Egyptian goods, food, fridges, you name it. But in 2010, Israel eased its blockade, allowing in many more products. So now you look around and almost everything for sale here is Israeli. Nevertheless, the tunnel trade from Egypt has remained big business.
The trade volume between Gaza and Egypt through the tunnel reached up to $700 million a year.
Omar Shaban is an economist in Gaza.
It's a 1,200 tunnel. They smuggle cars and vehicles. They smuggle more than 500,000 liter of fuel every day. More than 300,000 pack of cigarettes every day.
By far the tunnel's biggest smuggled import from Egypt over the past year or so, though, has been construction materials, which are still largely restricted by Israel. It's fueled a huge construction boom across Gaza. There's evidence of it all around me, buildings, roads, hospitals. And up until the clashes in the Sinai this month, massive quantities of cement and gravel were being dragged through underground every month. But in the last few weeks, there's been a dramatic reduction.
In Gaza City, I meet Hani Alaya, a cement trader. He shows me round his almost empty warehouse. In the last few weeks, his Egyptian supplies have dried up. Like most building merchants here, he wants either the tunnels to reopen soon or for Egypt to open the border to legal trade. He hopes Hamas's close ties with the new Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood leadership could see that latter option happen. But Mohaima Abu Sada, professor of politics at Gaza's Al-Azhar University, says Egypt will be wary.
If Egypt were to transfer Rafah into a commercial crossings, I would imagine that Israel will immediately terminate its relationship with the Gaza Strip completely and make Gaza a problem and a responsibility for Egypt rather than becoming a responsibility of Israel.
And that's why economist Omar Shaban is adamant that Egypt will not follow through on its threat to shut the tunnels permanently.
Egypt will not be able to do it. Hamas will not accept such, because Gaza without the tunnel cannot live more than a week. And I think in a week or 10 days, the tunnel business will go up to normal.
And we'll be back after that report from the BBC's John Donison in Gaza in 30 seconds here and now.